This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This year, we marked the 100th birthday anniversary of one of Detroit's greatest creative minds. Yusef Lateef's family moved to the city when he was a young child. And in his 93 years on the planet, he gave us music, poetry, prose, and visual art that weren't just unique to his generation. They bring a heightened musicality into our lives that would stand out at any time. With us to remember his work are Rodney Whitaker, distinguished professor and director of jazz studies at Michigan State University. Rodney Whitaker, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And we're also talking with Michael Jewett. He's a longtime jazz and blues host. These days, he's operations director at WEMU, but you may remember him for having worked on Hayes and Schumacher's Jazz Revisited. Michael Jewett, good to hear from you.
Good to be here and good to talk to both of you.
Rodney, I know that, as we said, Yusef grew up in Detroit and later moved to New York. Can you fill in some of the spaces there about what his early life was like in Detroit and how that shaped him as a musician?
Well, he was a musician, of course, from Detroit that went to Miller High School, which is now a middle school. But at that time, it was a high school that produced great musicians like Milt Jackson and the great Kenny Burrell and Frank Rosalino. So many great musicians went to that high school. And from there, he goes on a few years later on to Wayne State to study with the great Larry Teal, who teaches saxophone, but also he becomes a woodwind major where he learns bassoon, oboe, and clarinet and such. And in 1948, he gets a big break and tours with Dizzy Gillespie's big band for 1 year. And so then he comes back to Michigan after touring, and he's a hometown hero.
Michael, Yusef Lateef was not what we think of as a gateway artist into jazz in the way that Miles Davis or Billie Holiday might have been. What would you say about the doors that his music opened up for you as a listener?
I think what, when you get to Yusef Lateef, I think people, and it's certainly been my experience, you're really going much, much deeper. Lateef's music is so unique and creative and adventurous. By the time a jazz listener, music listener, finds Yusef Lateef, they've become, I don't know what you want to call them, hardcore, dedicated, a connoisseur. But it's just a very rich and diverse musical experience that, you know, I find I've been listening to his music for 40 years now. And it always sounds new. It always sounds different. I find myself, you know, listening to different eras of it and whatnot. And it's always such a rewarding thing because you get the creativity and his dedication to his craft is just, he's really on his own level. And I think it's really fantastic that we're marking the centennial of really one of the greatest artists, any field, to come out of Detroit and to come out of Michigan.
If we were to think about his compositions in the context of some other things that were happening musically at the time, I think about Sun Ra's music on the West Coast and some of the originators in the format of New York. Rodney, could you maybe give us some context for what his unique Detroit-based stamp really added to some of the other experimentations of the time?
Well, you know, I think it's important also to mention, although he wrote compositions that were very creative at that time, he also was a great blues player because he had that background coming from Detroit, playing with tons of blues bands before even really playing jazz. So he has that sort of blues feel. He's a Southerner, really, transplant from Tennessee. But also I think that he brought in his composition sort of Middle Eastern, Asian sound. He was one of the first musicians to really experiment with non-traditional Western sounds and adding that ancient element of music that existed, trying to find a spiritual path within his music. And so when I think of him, I think of him immediately of that. But my two favorite compositions to hear him play, he actually didn't write, and they're both on flute. One is a piece by the great Roy Brooks, the drummer from Detroit, who wrote a piece called Evidence. And that piece for me is significant because it really displays Yusef's Black empowerment side. And the other piece that I think of is New Delhi, written by Victor Feldman, that was recorded by the great Cannonball Adderley, which featured Yusef Lateef.
I know that during his adult life in Detroit, Yusef Lateef was deeply influenced by the Nation of Islam. It sounds like some of the more international sounds that may have worked their way into his compositions may have sprung from that. Michael, I know that for you, one of the standouts is the 1957 album Jazz for the Thinker.
Yeah, that's a first impression for me, and I think a lasting impression, too. And I think it also points to Yusef, you know, very much an artist. And he conceived of himself as an artist. I mean, this wasn't casual stuff. It wasn't just something that to present yourself in that way. And that image, if their image of he and his band, Curtis Fuller, the rest of the band from Detroit, in front of the Detroit Institute of Arts, in front of, you know, the Rodin sculpture. I mean, that's the image that he presented himself. And this is, you know, he's, you know, 4 or 5 years into his own career, his own leadership of a band. And I think that that just stamps him as being a thoughtful, a creative, you know, that, you know, Rodney was talking about that embrace of African music, Middle Eastern music, Asian music. You hear all those elements. And he brought that kind of scholarly, intellectual approach to the music. But as Rodney also mentioned, you know, a great blues player, you have that really emotional, traditional grounding in his work as well. It's really all there. He's really, you know, a consummate artist in that way.
You can't really talk about Yusef Lateef without mentioning the Detroit album. The subtitle was Latitude 42 degrees, 30 minutes, Longitude 83 degrees, marking us right on the map, recorded in 1969. It's really sort of more of a compositional suite. Rodney, will you talk a little bit about what you like about this record?
What I like about it is that I think what every recording musicians make is really a diary about where they are at that time. And I think as Detroit was making a transition during that time with a lot of things happening, white flight, et cetera, he was very reflective on the town which he grew up, which gave him so much, which gave him a great education, which gave him great opportunities. And he was being reflective, I believe, at that point in his life. So for me, it's beautiful to hear his love, his inspiration for Detroit.
I know you played with Yusef Lateef, Rodney, in 1997, performing at a festival in Italy. What was he like to follow as a band leader?
Well, he was very interesting that he talked a lot about spiritual things. And I remember one night having dinner with him, and I used to drink wine, and he wouldn't allow us to drink wine at his table. But I wanted to sit around, be around and have the stories told to me by Yusef. So I didn't drink wine. I restrained myself. But he was very, very spiritually awakened. And this piece was that I performed with him was called The World at Peace. And it's a very powerful piece. And I, unfortunately, at that time, I had just began working with Wynton Marsalis with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra and couldn't make very many other performances with him. But it was enlightening. And again, Yusef is a hero of mine. I learned about him when I first started playing music at 13 years old, playing jazz.
Yusef Lateef had an incredibly expansive and musical style that was comprehensive of lots of different kinds of disciplines. What did he ask of his bandmates in following him down these paths?
For me, I felt that Yusef didn't give a lot of instructions. And I think he sort of picked musicians that he felt were creative. And I got an opportunity to perform with him through fellow Detroiters like Kenny Cox and Adam Rudolph, who's a percussionist, and Charles Moore, the trumpeter. They all were a part of that group, and they recommended me to Yusef, and Yusef knew I was from Detroit. And he was very into what he was doing from a creative standpoint. He was very preoccupied with, because he's playing wood flutes, nose flutes, flutes from all over around the world, and woodwind instruments from around the world. So he was pretty busy, and I think he was really consumed with himself and already assumed that I was creative because of the people who recommended me.
Michael Jewett, how do you think the musical landscape of Detroit would be different if Yusef Lateef hadn't put his particular stamp on it?
Well, yeah, it's a his impact was just so deep and so profound. I just want to touch on, you know, we mentioned Yusef Lateef's Detroit, the album Yusef Lateef's Detroit. Recently, the Rolling Stone magazine does these, you know, best of music, you know, best albums of all time. And Marvin Gaye's landmark work, What's Going On, top the list. This is the greatest album ever made. And this is Rolling Stone, so it's mostly pop, rock, whatnot, nothing disparaging against all the genres. But I think actually a companion piece to What's Going On, if you had to pick representative albums to come out of Detroit, which is an amazing musical city, you know, post-World War II and beyond. It's like one of the most dynamic, diverse musical cities on the planet, really. And I think at the core of that is the jazz tradition. You know, Roddy mentioned, you know, early on just about this generation of jazz players, the you know, kind of like the post-Charlie Parker, a Dizzy Gillespie generation of jazz players. And Yusef Lateef is among the greatest of them. But that achievement, Yusef Lateef's Detroit, the album, I think goes right alongside Marvin Gaye's Touchstone work, What's Going On. It's a symphonic piece in that it has like a that sort of structure, that sort of scope. It brings in all these different themes about the city. It's very personal. And I think all of those elements in Lateef's music, not just that album, but elsewhere throughout his amazing discography, really speak to what he was about and what that generation of Detroit jazz players gave to the world.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that he produced a body of visual art during his time. Rodney, have you seen much of Yusef's work?
I have not. In fact, I was not really aware that he was a visual artist. I'm not surprised, but amazed at the same time.
How does that fit in with your picture of his creative life?
I mean, it makes sense for him. I think sometimes we sort of underestimate his influence, because when you think about it, I heard stories growing up of many, many saxophonists from New York, when they would tour and come to Detroit, they would go look for Yusef and see where he's sitting in and playing. There's a famous story about a saxophone battle between him and Sonny Rollins, and Coltrane certainly got into the thoris of scales in exploring Eastern music because of Yusef. So Yusef's influence is probably greater than we kind of, you know, I know Michael said that he wasn't a gateway artist, but I think for most of the Detroit musicians, when you're part of that legacy, you're aware of Yusef's prominence in the jazz scene. You're influenced by it. It gives you a sort of an open way. Detroit is a bebop town, but it's also an avant-garde town. And I think a lot of it has to do with Yusef's influence.
I wanted to ask both of you, I mean, not that we have to limit ourselves to one recording, but as we mark this 100th anniversary of his birth, is there one work that you would choose to listen to yourself to remember him?
I'll go first. You know what? And I'm going to go back to Jazz for the Thinker. And really, all of those records that featured that great band from around 1957 with Curtis Fuller on trombone, Hugh Lawson at the piano, a band out of Detroit. You know, Rodney was mentioning in some respects, you know, Yusuf Lateef is kind of underappreciated in a way. And, you know, being underappreciated or underrated is kind of like a cliche or a trope when it comes to jazz artists. But in terms of what he accomplished as an artist and what he, you know, accomplished as a band leader and every aspect, you know, as a player and everything, I think there's a lot of jazz fans out there who, even though they may be aware of him, are not really aware of the quality and the diversity and the dynamic aspects of his work. But this band from Detroit, and this is an era, you know, mid-late 1950s, where there's a lot of great working jazz bands. But I think the Lateef band with Curtis Fuller out of Detroit is among the best ever. And I probably listen to those albums, mostly Jazz for the Thinker and everything else on mostly Savoy, the Savoy label in the 50s. I rank them as, you know, among the best of the best.
Rodney Whitaker, what would your pick be?
My pick would be the Love Theme from Spartacus.
Mm.
It's featuring Yusef on the oboe.
Now, there's a piece of film history I did not know.
Yeah.
He picked this up from the soundtrack of the Kubrick film, is that right?
Yes, he heard it and he loved that song. And I think it still is very creative and very special. I mean, it's much like John Coltrane's My Favorite Thing, even though it's a popular song, he really expresses himself creatively on this composition. So I think it's a wonderful, way of also for common listeners that don't know a lot about jazz as a way to be a gateway, if I can use that word, Michael, to be a gateway into more things.
We've been speaking with Rodney Whitaker, Distinguished Professor and Director of Jazz Studies at Michigan State University. And we've also been talking with Michael Jewett, longtime jazz and blues host at WEMU. Gentlemen, thank you so much for helping us dig in on Yusef Lateef's life, and we're wishing you both safety and a good rest of the week.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Been a great pleasure.